responsibility. So I'm going to ask you, Pastor Al, come up and share with us today. Give him a hand. Amen.
Shalom, y'all. I think you expected that. So it's good to be back in Georgia. Georgia, my mind, right? We were just in Sweet Home, Alabama last week. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but we're so glad to be with you and to be hosted by Deborah at her lovely place and be with Gary and Allie and Pastor Mike and Crystal. And it's a wonderful fellowship we have in Jesus. And as you see in our back, we have, we're missionaries, a display. You can grab our literature, some books that we wrote. There's a new one out on Equipped for the End Times. You think we're living in the end times? 10 Vital Principles and for High Impact Leadership and some other of the books there. We don't sell books. It's all for donation, and it goes for helping pastors around the world. So that's where that goes. But do pray for us, and thank you for your prayers. You can always pray when you eat macaroni, okay, or spaghetti, because my last name is Nucciaroni, so it's easy to remember. And how many have been to Israel? How many would like to go to Israel? Good. Well, if you ever come to Israel, you want a place to stay or a nice meal, just give us a ring, and we'll pray for you for sure. Now, we can, before we look into the Word of God, and that's why we're here, to share and also look at the Word of God, we have some pictures up here, wherever, yeah, we can start our, to share with you what God has done in this year of, or 2 years of COVID. God is still alive and working in Israel, so we thank God for that. And here we are looking over Jerusalem. Go ahead. And a little bit, so you get acquainted with our family, our three girls, Libby, Emily, and Allison. Go ahead. Libby lives in Wheaton, Illinois, with her four little children and Brandon. So next slide. And then Emily and Seth, he's our second one. They have two kids, Theo and what's his name? Levi, you know, nice biblical name. I call him Leroy. I always confuse that sometimes. But they actually live in Jerusalem. Praise God. We have two little ones with us. Seth teaches at the Anglican school. Go ahead. That's the newborn Theo. So we have three granddaughters, three grandsons. Amen. Go ahead. And this is our last one, Allison, our third daughter. Go ahead. She's actually living in Ghana, and she was traveling through South America. She's the world traveler, so she's in South America there. But do pray for her. She needs a husband, okay? And end all the traveling. Settle down somewhere. Go ahead. And this is our church, Jerusalem Baptist Church, in the heart of Jerusalem. Gary, when he comes, always brings the group there. We have a great time. Go ahead. And actually, we met during COVID. We were the only church in Jerusalem that met. And we didn't miss one Sunday. Two Sundays, we were not in the building. We had to meet in the Mount of Olives one Sunday. And then in front of old lady's home, we met as well. But other times we were inside, outside, you know, trying to observe all the regulations. But thank God we met. And not one COVID. Not one COVID. We prayed Psalm 91. You know, he will give his angels charge concerning you. Go ahead. So that's our group there. These are the ladies in the church. They made a cookbook. You can get the cookbook back there as well. Now, this is, you see the lady in the wheelchair. Next slide. This is Irene Levy. She's 102 years old, still serving Jesus. She comes to church. There, she's singing a solo. And I know the song's the same song. We love her song, God Will Take Care of You. And there's a Psalm 92 says this, the righteous will bear fruit in their old age. So thank God for Irene. Amen? Go ahead. We also are blessed. You know, God gave us great blessings during COVID. We have these African ladies coming. They're from the United Nations. And they got together to sing. They're from Malawi, Ghana, Zimbabwe, different nations. They sang the same song, different dialects, with their African garb. What a wonderful blessing they are. And I tell you something, those African ladies know how to pray and praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead. And this is Yoni Cohen. You might have prayed for him, but Yoni was listening or checking out internet messages, and he happened to hear John MacArthur preach. He said, boy, this is interesting. I need to know more of the Bible. He came to our church. We did a gospel study, and he said, I want to accept Jesus Christ now. Does that sound like a nice Jewish name? Yoni Cohen. His parents are Orthodox Jews, and we baptized him a few years ago. So pray for Yoni. And go ahead, next. This girl here, it's an interesting story. During COVID year, last year, right, with all the restrictions, this girl comes in, face mask, shield, gloves, I mean the works, and she listens during the service. At the end of the service, I said, what brings you here? I said, well, I'm a Jew, but I want to accept Jesus. So she prayed to receive the Lord right there. I mean, so God added to the church. You know, you meet, you do what you have to do, and God adds to his church. So do pray for Haya. Go ahead. And this is Jacob Yael, another believing family who came to our church, and their church was a meeting, or they had been looking for a church, and do pray for them. They're from Germany, and he's from Switzerland, she's from Germany. So a great German couple, and German-Swiss couple. So pray for them. Go ahead. We had baptisms. We're a Baptist church, but we don't have a baptistry. Why do we need a baptistry? We go down to the Jordan River. And they had some people from the UN want to be baptized. Wonderful. And then a few months ago, a lady who works with the UN from Haiti called me, and she said, my husband is coming from Haiti. Can he be baptized? And me and my son, sure. So I went to pick him up. I said, sir, nice to meet you. I'm sorry about the assassination of your president. You know what he said? Yes, I knew him. I ran against him as president. Go ahead, next slide. So that's the Haiti presidential hopeful. And I baptized him in the name of Jesus, and there was a group of Ethiopian believers. I said, this man may be the next president of Haiti and a servant of Jesus. And they were all singing and praising the Lord. But do pray for Clarence, okay? I said, I tell you, when you don't have to worry. When you have Jesus, you're protected. So don't worry about all the violence there, whatever is happening. Go ahead. And these are some, I got a chance to take these Arab Christian ladies from the old city and around different tour, and it's wonderful to encourage them because they haven't been able to get out of the old city. But now they took a little tour with us. Go ahead. We went to this place. You see that? This is a place in Samaria where you can eat, have cappuccino, and put your feet in a spring of water. You ever seen that before? So when you come again to Israel with Gary, we'll go out there and have a nice cappuccino and have a nice, have our feet in cool and refreshing water. Go ahead. Now, this is a guy named Israel, and an interesting fella. I was, you know, sitting in a coffee shop. I always have my Bible, some other books. This guy said, what are you reading? Well, sit down. He looked like John the Baptist, and he came, and we sat down. And he said to me, I'm a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus. I said, wow, it's great. Tell me a story. I got saved in the States. He actually worked for Sid Roth. You know, I had a long story. I didn't know that. And so he came to church, and people knew him. And we have to pray for him because he lost his wife last year, very sad. And then his daughter was killed in a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. So do pray for Israel, if you can remember it. Go ahead. And every Christmas Eve, I think Ali, you joined us one time, yeah, and Gary with the group, and we did you come that time? You came too. So we sang on stage, right? It was fun. Preaching the gospel in Bethlehem. Can you imagine that Christmas Eve? Now, the last two Christmases, no celebration because of COVID, but hopefully this year we can get a group and go down to Bethlehem Christmas Eve and share the gospel. Go ahead. This is the Canavati family at the Alexander Hotel. A lot of our groups stay there, and do you pray for them? They've lost 15 months without any groups, and you have to pray for Israel. The tourism is down. Old City is like a ghost town. Bethlehem, ghost town. Okay, New Jerusalem, okay, but they need to get tourism back. That's the lifeblood of their economy. Go ahead. And this is Barry and Sybil, our friends. Jewish friends, do pray for Sybil. Barry passed away last year. You might have heard in our prayer letters about his passing away, but do pray for salvation for Sybil. Go ahead. And this is Khalid or Albert Einstein. He's actually at the Jericho Mount of Temptation restaurant, and he was so happy because we were able to organize a field trip with 90 people and eat at his restaurant, the first group in 15 months. They were celebrating. They had Facebook. We were the first group in 15 months. We were able to enjoy that time together after that COVID period. Go ahead. And this is a man I met a few months ago, Baidun. He's a Muslim, but I've spent time with him. He's a well-known antiquities dealer. He knows every Christian leader in the States, W.A. Criswell, and he even met Joe Biden. Joe Biden came here to buy some coins at one time. He knows everybody, but do pray for him for salvation. He's a Muslim man, but he loves Christians, and he says he loves Jesus, but you know how Muslims are. He's one of the great prophets. Okay, go ahead. And I think I shared this last time, but we were up in Lebanon where little Levi was born, and I was met a Lebanese pastor, and I asked him, I'd like to have some ministry. And he said, well, do you have $100? Okay, yes. I wasn't thinking of just giving money. No, we'll take Syrian refugees, Muslim ladies, out for a KFC dinner. But before you can share with them. So I shared the gospel with 15 of these ladies, and they all accepted Jesus. I said, this is a miracle. Then, next slide, then we went out to celebrate at KFC. So, amen. Go ahead. Next slide. This is still in Lebanon. Hezbollah leader house. Now, Israel, Hezbollah from Lebanon, Hamas from Gaza. So we were in Hezbollah territory when I was in Lebanon, and my sponsor there, he was a UN guy, that's his neighbor. This guy didn't have much money until Iran gave him money to be a leader for Hezbollah. See the nice house he has there? That's all from Iranian money, which probably came from us, but this is the situation there. Do pray for protection. Go ahead. And this is our last slide. I always show this. You've probably seen it five times, but the grace of God in the Middle East. God could save me, Italian boy from New Jersey, at the age of 19. He can save the guy in black who was an ex-mafia member, Milton, ex-cartel dealer. He was a drug dealer, but God saved him through listening to Nikki Cruz. Amen. And next to him in red is Tas Sadar. He was Yasser Arafat's hitman. He was a terrorist. He killed Israelis. He killed Jordanians. But, God had a plan. He was in the States, and guy witnessed to him, and he came to Jesus. Now he went back and started a ministry. He's from Gaza. Started a ministry in Jericho, and even in Israel, he's opened up a kindergarten. So God is able to save even a terrorist. And then Brother Terry Hill, he's a coach. He's with the Lord now, but preacher's kid. Even God can save preacher's kids. And actually, his wife is from Georgia. And I think Terry was the athletic minister at Charles Stanley's church in Atlanta. But he's with the Lord now. But this is what the Middle East needs. It needs the gospel, right? The grace of God. Amen. Thank you. Now, if you are in, Jerusalem, you'll notice there is a big gate called Jaffa Gate. Now, Jaffa Gate is bigger than any other gate. Why? Well, it wasn't so big, but in 1870, Franz Joseph, the emperor of Austria, wanted to come and proclaim himself to be the king of Israel. But the gate was too small, because he had a big entourage, so they widened the gate so he can enter in and proclaim himself on a horse, the king of Israel. Now, fast forward in 1917, at the end of World War I, General Allenby took over as the commander of the British Mandate in Israel after World War I. And he was a godly man, a Christian man, but they wanted to announce his coming, just to be fair to the people. So they sent out flyers from airplanes over all of Jerusalem and Israel, and they said, Allenby is coming. Now, this was to, like, the Arab population, the Turkish population. Now, as they got that flyer, they misinterpreted Allenby. They thought it said, Allah is coming. So everyone got out of the city, and so it was said that when Allenby entered the city, there was not a shot heard. That's in the providence of God. But when Allenby entered that city, he was a godly man. He said, I can't enter on a mule or small horse like my Lord. I'm not worthy of that. So he got off his horse and walked in through Jaffa Gate as a godly man. And I say this because, just as the emperor, they built and they prepared Jaffa Gate, for the king to enter and for Allenby to prepare the way for his coming to announce that he was going to be commander of the British Mandate. God sent a man to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, right? And that man was John the Baptist. Now, I like John the Baptist, and we're going to look at just a few things about his life here in Matthew chapter 3. Now, John the Baptist was not a Baptist, okay? He was a baptizer, okay? Actually, he was Pentecostal. Yes, from the Bible. When Elizabeth was pregnant with John, right? Who came and visited Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus. And when Mary entered into the home of Elizabeth, John, in the womb of his mother, started jumping up and down for joy. Now, wait a minute. That could be a Pentecostal, it could be a Baptist, doesn't matter. We should all be jumping up and down for joy when we're in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that right? I mean, in our church, too. I mean, we have non-denominational. Okay, Baptist, we call it Baptist, non-denominational, and people stand up, and one lady, 75 years old, when it's time to dance, she'll come up and dance. It doesn't matter to her. The Bible has nothing against dancing, right? For the Lord, right? I will dance like David danced. But John the Baptist here, and it was remarkable because he was born in this city of Ein Kerem, which is a very beautiful area, full of greenery. It's like Switzerland, very rich area. And so it was unusual that here was a man who was born into riches, had a lot of things going for him, was called of God. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So he was led from this beautiful, lush area into the wilderness. Now, why in the wilderness? You've been through Israel, the wilderness. You go out of Jerusalem into the wilderness. You see all the Bedouins, and it's not sand wilderness. It's rocky wilderness. It's stark. There's not many people. But we see here that he was called out of Ein Kerem into the wilderness, out of Jerusalem. And why is that? Now, I think there was a reason, because later on we'll see, because Jerusalem was full of religious people. Okay? Now, religion does not save us. You know, religion is our attempts to reach God. True biblical Christianity, God reaching us in Jesus. And I think that it was better that people get into the wilderness to get away from those religious influences so they can clearly hear the message. And just like even today, I'll tell you, even today, there is a lot of religion in Jerusalem, right? Even like the Sadducees and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. And not only that, you know, not only among the Jews, you know, the Christians pray and the Muslims are praying, you know, every day, and et cetera, et cetera. It's a city full of religion. But the Bible does say a lot about religion. And, of course, later on we'll see John's reaction against these religious people as well as Jesus. But, you know, even today, it's not always the best thing to preach Jesus in Jerusalem, even though we share one-on-one and in certain ways, in different ways, and I guess you can say humanitarian-type ways, but there's always opportunity to share. But if I ever go there and preach Jesus in the open air, like I used to do in Europe, they would stone me, they would throw me on the ground, and they would rip up my Bible. So that's not the best tactic. Now, what do? We go to Tel Aviv. You know what? There's a great missionary to Africa, C.T. Studd. He said this, you know, some like to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to open up a gospel shop within a yard of hell. We got to go where the people are, where they're not going to attack you. We go to Tel Aviv Friday night with the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the immigrants. Everybody's there. Friday night, you know where the religious people are? In synagogue. Let them stay there. And we minister to the people. We have open air. We have do all these kind of things. And it's wonderful to see God work in that situation. And even Chinese. But you know who's building the buildings in Israel now? The Chinese and the Turks. So we give out Chinese Bibles. Okay? So let's pray for China, right? There's some good things, not the Wuhan people, but, you know, we need to pray for the Chinese who are coming there, and we give them Bibles. So in this situation, we see the people in the wilderness where they're away from religion, they're more open to hearing the message. And here, John the Baptist, obedient to the Lord, came and started preaching in the wilderness. So we see the man leaving Ein Kerem, committed to doing the will of the Lord, but that man had a message. You get a man, a powerful man, a holy man, called of God, and a message, you've got a revival. What was his message? Well, first of all, he says this, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. Repent from sin. Doesn't America need to hear that message? That's really the solution right there. You know, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Praise God. Your husband too. And nobody invited me. I read in the paper, June 25th, 1970, and Mr. Graham preached the gospel. But one of the first emphases, you have to repent of your sin. But that wasn't the only part of the gospel, because you read about in John chapter 2 and 3, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's it, right there. You know, you live in Jerusalem, you go to Jerusalem, you visit Jerusalem, you notice, you know, this is where Jesus was, where he ministered, where he even rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees, where he healed people. But one thing, probably the most important place there is Calvary, right? In the providence of God, you sang that great hymn. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. You know, we don't sing it that way in Jerusalem. You know how we sing it? Not on a hill far away, but on a hill over there stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. It's right there. On a hill over there stood an old rugged cross. On a hill over there, Jesus was buried. On a hill over there, Jesus rose from the dead. On a hill that way, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended to his Father. And on the same place, the same hill, Jesus will return. It's all over there. You can't get away from it. And by the way, that place where he ascended and returned is operated, is owned and controlled and monitored by Muslims who believe that Jesus will return as well. It's an interesting story. But it's all there. And that's the message. He had a great message. Repent. America, repent, right? Israel, repent of your sins, but turn to Jesus. And that was for the people who needed Jesus. Of course, everyone needs Jesus, right? But he also had a message for the religious people. And I love this. In verse 7, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to see what was going on at the baptism. Now, John did not say, hey, welcome, guys. Welcome to the baptism. Let's sit down, have some camel milk together, you know? It was not a time, you know, for celebration. He did not say that. What did he say? You, what? You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What did Jesus say to the religious people? Hey, nice guys. Thanks. Nice to know you. No, he said, you hypocrites. You whitewashed sepulchers, clean on the outside, dirty, like dead men's bones on the inside. Hey, Jesus was very clear. You tell it like it is. Do we need some truth today? Fake news. I stopped listening to some of the news. I mean, it's terrible. I go back to the word. You can always be assured this Bible is going to tell you the truth, okay? That's it. Even preachers sometimes don't tell the truth. Pastor Mike is a great preacher of the Word of God. And we need that preaching. We need that teaching about sin, about Jesus. But we also need that teaching about the wrath of God. Okay? I'm sorry to say. I mean, it's a hard subject, but it's true. Now, one thing, it's interesting in Israel during this time of COVID. I think every Israeli became a police officer. Because if we had the mask mandate, you know, and I have a mask. I keep masks everywhere, you know, just in case, you know. And, of course, I don't like masks, but it's okay. I don't want to get a $50 fine. But sometimes I don't like to put it above my nose, you know. I like to, you know, I have a big nose, so it's a little difficult. So I was on a bus, and getting on the bus, and I was actually on the phone with my deacon in the States. And I had the mask below my nose, and this lady, Orthodox lady, said, put that mask above your nose. Okay, thank you. So I put it above my nose, and I start talking. And then all of a sudden I said to her, well, lady, listen, thank you for warning me. I'm going to warn you too, okay? If you don't accept Jesus as your Messiah, you're going to hell. I mean, this lady was in shock. She never we never anticipated that response. And she started cursing Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua. And then she put her head in her hand. I said, Bruce, on the phone, I said, man, I just witnessed to a lady, and I got the whole bus as a captive audience. Let's keep on talking about Jesus on the phone. So we kept on. And as I left the bus, she was still holding her head in her hand. You know? But it's true. And maybe God can use that. You know, I'm not saying I do that all the time, but it's something I felt led to say at the time, and it's because it is the truth. And so that's part of our message. We preach repentance, we preach Jesus, and we preach the consequences of sin, death, right? That's all part of the message, the clear message that we preach to the world. So here we have not only a man, we have a great message, but there's also a mission. And I like it what it says here, because in Matthew chapter 3, it's a quotation from the book of Isaiah. For he is the one, verse 3, spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. That's his mission. The man, the message, the mission. Now, I like it what Josh McDowell, I've heard him give a message on the authority of the believer. Great message. That we, as believers, we have authority. We can pray in Jesus' name and go in Jesus' name. But he said, if you want to be used of God and exercise the authority, you must have humility, just like John the Baptist. And he said, humility is not this. It's not like saying, I'm a nothing. You know, remember, you older guys and ladies, remember, used to say, you know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going outside and eat worms. No, that's not humility. He says humility is knowing who you are. You know, John the Baptist was not a nobody. He was the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. That's something. You know who you are? You are the voice of the one crying in the wilderness that Jesus is coming. That's something. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a child of the King. But it's knowing who you are, but also knowing who made you, who saved you, who called you. It's only by his grace, right? That's true humility. What a great privilege to be, you know, part of the mission of the Lord, right? And hopefully we always have that mentality of being on mission. Even when we have groups in Israel coming, Allie knows, you know, anyone knows, we're always on mission. I mean, we're seeing things, we're worshiping the Lord, but we're always on mission to share Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Because we are the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But not only that, there was, of course, the motivation. Why do we do what we do? And John here, or Matthew, refers to it. He says, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus is coming. The kingdom is in you, yes, but the kingdom is to come. And that should be the motivation because Jesus is coming. I don't know when. I will not predict. All the signs are pointing to it, right? All the signs are there. Israel's back in the land. Jerusalem is prospering. You know, all the nations of the world, you look in Ezekiel 38, Persia, Russia, they're all mentioned there in the Bible. So things are happening. I don't know how this COVID plays in. Maybe it's a prelude to something, you know, government control, antichrist, who knows? But the world is getting a little more dangerous to live in, would you say? But praise God, even Jesus said in Matthew 24, one of the signs that I'm coming is that the gospel will be preached in the whole world. And the gospel is being preached. Internet, the fastest growing church in the world is the church in Iran, in and out. And you know what the second fastest growing church in the world is? Afghanistan. In and out, you know, both in and out. So we have to pray for those people. And so we have the man, we have the message, we have the mission that we're all in, we have the motivation. Then there's the manner. Verse 4 says, John himself had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Okay? How would you like to clothe yourself with that and eat that? Well, it was simple, right? Maybe it was good during those days. But I think it's interesting because I like to share this with any prosperity gospel preachers. Jesus did not come with great splendor. He rode on a donkey. He was humble. And he said to his disciples, you go out and don't take too much with you. How much we need to learn for that. Now, I did not grow up in riches. If I can tell you where I'm from, Short Hills, New Jersey, and you can look it up. It was the richest town in the United States around 5 years ago. Now, I did not grow up in riches. My Jewish friends were rich. Cadillacs, Mercedes, camps, Florida vacation, skiing in the Poconos or Colorado. I did nothing of that. My father owned a Rambler. We bought our suits or coats or pants, whatever, from Sears Roebuck. Okay, so we weren't poor, middle class. But, as missionaries, it's amazing how Lord has provided. You take a step of faith, and God has always provided, right, Billy? I mean, I praise God I didn't marry into riches, okay? Her father was a missionary in Quito, Ecuador, okay? They went out, their support for a month was $400 a month. When we went out, and God provided, right, Billy? The father was tight. Of course, you have to be tight when you only work with $400 a month. And when we went out as missionaries in 1980, it was $1,000 a month. That's all. We didn't have much, but God has always provided. We never lacked anything. And so we praise God for his provision. Now, not only that, but didn't Jesus say, go with nothing, but don't worry what man will do to you. Don't fear man who can take your life. Fear God who can take your life and your soul. And we go out, here we are in Israel, COVID, and then bombs coming from Gaza. Now, ask me if I'm afraid. No. You can die here in a car accident. We've seen the bombs. I've seen the remnants of bombs. I was 200 yards from a bomb landing, and we've seen the interception of bombs in the sky. We had been in bomb shelter many times, even in IKEA, right? They had the bomb threat or the bomb siren. We went into the bomb shelter. We have a bomb shelter in the church, okay, the bottom, just in case. But we don't live in fear. In fact, it's interesting. I'm glad I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I'd have to have the security team, around me. My friend who's not a prosperity gospel preacher, he's the pastor in Baghdad. He's a British guy. He's got 25-man security team, the pastor. John MacArthur, who's definitely not a prosperity gospel preacher, because of his, his importance, has a two-man, you go there to the church, and the guys are like Secret Service. Now, for me, I'm in Jerusalem. I'm very well known by God. And, I have a three-man security team, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all I need. So don't worry. God will protect, God will provide when you step out by faith. Now, let me tell you something. John the Baptist was a man of God with a great message, a mission, and really showed in his life, reflected his message. He was committed to tell the truth. And I want to mention this because we have another example of a man. He wasn't like John the Baptist, but he did tell the truth. And I think we should be more like John the Baptist than this guy, and it was Jonah, right? Jonah was called to be a missionary and preach to the Ninevites. Did he go, yes, Lord, here I am, send me? No. He had to go through an experience. Why? Because he was a Jew, the Ninevites were pagans, he wanted them to go to hell. But God wanted those Ninevites to go to heaven. And he called Jonah, a Jew, to preach to the Ninevites, just like calling Israeli today, go and preach to the Iranians. No, I want them to go to hell. But God put Jonah through a whale of an experience. He finally was convinced. He went and preached wrath of God, repentance, and the whole city of Nineveh came to the Lord. And even today, my brother Andrew from Baghdad said, most of the Christians in Iraq are from Nineveh. And there's a church in Chicago, all Ninevites, that recurring revival. Now, I tell you one thing, I had an experience, even in seminary, learning all these things, you know, full of knowledge and everything else. But was I really committed to go and preach overseas, to leave America? I wasn't married then. I didn't want to go without a wife. And God had to deal with my life. You know, even summer, I got into an accident. I was working with a moving company. We went under a bridge that was too low for the truck. Toppled it over. No seatbelts at that time. I was in the hospital. I was in an ambulance. Had to fly back to Mama in New Jersey. I don't know how they got me there. Broken bones, vertebrae, everything. I was then recovering it in the home. I listened to Christian radio. You know, it was on Johnny Erickson. To give her testimony, you know, how she dove in and was paralyzed. I said, Lord, that could have been me. I was in tears. That could have been me. I could have died or been paralyzed, but you saved me for a purpose. So I said, Lord, here am I. Like Isaiah said, Hineni, here am I, Lord. Anything you want me to do. That put the fear of God in me. And I said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And that was the beginning. And God, praise God, he gave me a missionary wife, you know, who wanted to go to the mission field. Other girls I dated before, if they knew I wanted to be a missionary, that was the last date I had with them. Not easy to find a girl who, the first thing when I met Billy, she said, I want to be a missionary. Praise God. And so this is like we've been overseas missionaries now for more than 40 years. God is faithful. But the last thing I want to say is that, you know, we have this mission, and we should live accordingly. But there's also the other ministry that John the Baptist had, great privilege of serving Jesus, right? Baptizing Jesus. No, I can't baptize. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. But Jesus said, no, you must baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did not have to be baptized because he was a sinner, and he didn't have to identify with himself. He was a sinner and needed to repent. No, he baptized into the Jewish community. That was Jewish baptism. That all righteousness would be fulfilled. You know what that means? Baptism is not only for you and I, meaning I have been crucified with Christ, I'm dead with Christ, I'm risen with Christ, but it also means I am identified with the people of God. You know, the church. And I think that there's a lot to say about the church. Aren't you glad the Bible says, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad that the Bible says, and we can obey God, not man, when it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together? I mean, those verses kept in my mind all during COVID period. We've got to meet at the church. You can have your Zoom. Zoom is not the way of the future for the church. The church must meet. You can have Zoom. We had Bible study. I understand that, but I got sick of Zoom. Excuse me. I'm sick of masks. I'm sick of all this stuff. I want to see smiles, don't you? I want to hug, you know, at the beginning, elbow. What's going on? I'm glad to be able to hug people now. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that God, you know, ordained the church for a purpose, to be together. As all part of even John the Baptist's ministry. Believe on the Lord, right? Repent. Turn to Jesus, and then even Jesus said, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel, okay, baptizing them. And that, I believe, meant, you know, baptizing them to identify themselves with the church, group of believers. We need the church, don't we? Even more so. And the government can't tell us, and I love preachers who stood up and say, in America, the First Amendment, we have the right to meet. And in Israel, you know, they were preventing us. I said, wait a minute, that has to do with synagogues. We're a church. And one time I was telling the group this morning, you know, they said, you cannot pray. You cannot pray more than a kilometer from your house. That was the restriction. I said, wait a minute, that's for a synagogue. And we're going to go and we're going to meet in church. So I went and there was police blockades. And so I went to church Sunday. Billy went with another car and I got to the police blockade and the cop said, where are you going? I said, sir, we are going to church to worship Jesus. I said, oh, great, go right ahead. And so I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. So what can we learn from John the Baptist? You know, Jesus said there's one greater. I think there's two things I take from John. He was a man who stood for truth. Do we need truth today? We don't need the lies of the devil. And he was humble. Not I, but Christ, right? And I hope our prayer would be, Lord, may you increase. May I decrease. That's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? And so, Lord, now we come to you. And we thank you for this time together in the Word. Thank you for John the Baptist. And our prayer would be, Lord, may you increase. May you be glorified. May we decrease, Lord. You and you alone are worthy. Amen.
Amen. Y'all enjoyed that this morning? Amen. Give him another hand clap of praise. Amen. Pastor Al and Miss Billy, we thank you for being with us today. We're going to ask the ushers, if the elders, if you'll get ready at the back door. As you're leaving, you feel led to give toward the ministry of what Pastor Al and Miss Billy are doing there to give towards it. We're going to give as well. We thank God for what you're doing. Thank God for the word today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for what he's doing all around the world and in Jerusalem as well. Thank God that he's keeping you safe, Pastor Al, and your family, and praying a husband for your daughter. And amen. Stretch forth your hands this morning. Father, we thank you for Pastor Al and Miss Billy. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you're pouring through them. Thank you, Lord, for your word that dwells in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for open doors. God, even doors that they don't expect to open, Lord, you're opening them. You're preparing a way before them. And, Lord, I thank you that even as I preached last Sunday, Lord, that you bring surprises in our life. God, I thank you for wonderful surprises that are ahead for Pastor Al and Ms. Billy, Lord, that you call us what Satan means for harm, you turn it around for good. And no weapon formed against them will prosper. But, Lord, you will prosper in and through them. Lord, thank you that you cause us to prosper in every way of our life, our health, our mind, our spirit, our emotions, our finances. Thank you, Lord, that you are God of prosperity. You are the God of prosper. That's what you taught, Lord, so that you brought salvation so that we will prosper. Thank you, Lord, that you cause us to be abundantly blessed in all that we do because you dwell in our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that as we speak this over Pastor Al and Miss Billy today, Lord, that you cause their lives to be in abundance as well. It comes through your hand. Lord, that you guard their heart, their mind, their spirit, Lord. Thank you that you guard their family, Lord, from any harm. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your peace. And Lord, as we prepare to give toward the ministry of Pastor Al and Miss Billy, Jerusalem Baptist Church, we pray, God, that you'll cause everything that's given, even a penny that's given, you'll cause it, Lord, to multiply, which is what you do, to multiply. Just like we pray for our health, we pray that our health multiply. We pray, Lord, for the dollars to multiply so that this ministry will go forth. That's what you do. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless them now, and we thank you. And, Lord, the word that we've heard today, I pray, God, that it will take deep root in our heart, calls us to look to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you calls us to grow in you, to prosper in you, to be as you are, to mature in you. Thank you, Lord, that your word dwells in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Thank you for your word today that's going forth. I pray, God, for those hearts today, those that need you, as Crystal prayed earlier, many requests, many needs today. But, Lord, you're bigger than every one of them. We love you, Lord. We thank you. I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon.